Here in Luke chapter 16, it's a very familiar passage. There are a lot of people that do not like to read about the place called hell. And I can understand that. I'll be honest with you, the last thing any of us want to talk about or to think about is the fact that there's a place called hell. But does that change the fact that hell is real? Absolutely not. Here in this particular passage, we read about two different men. This is told by the creator of hell. You do realize that Jesus is the creator of that awful place called hell. He did not create it, and I want you to get this, he did not create hell for people. It was not created for people. My Bible tells me it's God's will that everybody go to heaven, that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that it's God's will that all men be saved.
That's right. Amen.
So for people to say, well, I can't imagine. I was talking to a man this week on the bus, and he said, well, I just can't imagine that a creator would send his children to hell. I said, he doesn't. None of God's children are going to go to hell.
Right.
All of the devil's children are going to go to hell.
Amen.
But none of God's children are going to go to hell. And this dangerous philosophy that we have in our world today has to do with this fact that everybody says we're all God's children. We all ought to get along. Well, I agree, we all ought to get along. You won't hear me argue with that. But I will tell you that there's some dangerous doctrines out there that we can't abide by, we can't tolerate, we need to stand up against. And they used to be preached right from this platform. And now we're preaching the truth from this platform, preaching the Word of God. Here in this particular passage, the Lord Jesus is telling us about two men, about two different lifestyles, and about two different destinations. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to bring out some things here. Some I'm sure you've heard before, but maybe it's just a refresher that we don't forget where the lost people are going. Starting with verse 19 in Luke chapter 16, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now some people would take that, and they would stop there, and they would say, well, the rich man went to hell because he was rich. That's not what this is saying. We'll go on because it gives a clearer definition here in a minute. You always have to keep it all in context. Look at verse 26. It says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have before us an event, not a parable, a true story of two men and their destination after death. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, the real preacher, to take this service and use it to teach us what we need to know about this awful, awful place so that we can be convinced it's our job to try to rescue the perishing. Try to convince people that don't believe in hell that there really is a place of torment. Keep the preacher out of your way and in your will, for it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things I see in this particular passage, and I've got a number of commentaries, and one of the commentaries, I like the author, and he does a series of books about all the messianic prophecies in the Bible and all the parables in the Bible and all the miracles in the Bible. And I'm not going to mention his name, but if you come to me afterwards, I'll tell you his name. But the truth is, he says that in his book, all the parables of the Bible, he says that he includes Lazarus and the rich man as a parable. Now, I know for a fact this is not a parable. Clearly, for one reason, the Bible doesn't call it a parable. But also, here we see the fact that Jesus does something he never does in a parable. He gives two proper names. He calls Abraham by name, and he calls Lazarus by name, and he could have called the rich man by name. But he did so, I think he refused to do that simply because he was trying to be kind to his family. I mean, nobody wants to know that my loved one is in a place of torment on fire. But clearly this is not a parable. Jesus is giving us a clear warning about an awful place where people die and go when they do not get saved. And the awfulness of hell it's not changed by the fact that people might not believe it. You realize that hell has probably never been preached from this platform before. This building, the people that were here before us did not believe in hell. I would tell them, they didn't like it, but I would ask them when I met one of them, Jehovah's Witnesses and the followers of the Watchtower, and I would ask them, I said, which group are you? Does your group believe in hell, or does your group not believe in hell? And they said, there's no Jehovah's Witnesses that believe in hell. And I said, yes, there is. The ones that are already there. It's kind of hard for them to deny, oh, I'm not in hell, but I'm on fire. I want you to know something. There's a real place that God does not want people to go. He did not create it for us. But this is clearly what this passage is telling us. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus did what? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did he come to save that which was lost? Because they were on their way to an awful place called hell. And what we need to realize is that everybody is a candidate for heaven or for hell. You can't win everybody. I'm gonna lay it out there, but our job is not to win everybody. It's just to try. Let the Holy Spirit help us, use us. Yesterday I had to come to church to meet a man, talking to him about some things about the building and all. And just, I don't think it was an accident. I came right through Bartow and they had a convention down there. That place was slam-packed with people. And I know what the Lord told me. He tapped me on the shoulder and said, you need to come back, pass out some tracts. I said, okay, I'll do that, Lord. So I got done here and went down to downtown. We're trying to get all our tracts stamped with the new address, okay? We're having trouble getting all that taken care of, but I had 175 tracts stamped up. And I passed them all out. And I was passing them out. Why would I do that? The man that provides our tracts for us, why would he do that? Spend that kind of money? I'm talking about that man has spent thousands and thousands of dollars to provide us with gospel tracts, both here and in Kansas City when we were there. Why would he do that? Because there's a place called hell. Why would I had a good job at the phosphate mines. And I'm going to tell you something. Why on earth would I leave the job that's paying me a lot more than 15 years ago than I'm making right now? Why would I do that? Because there's a place called hell that people need to know that there's a solution on how not to go. One of these days you might see a banner up here on, I'm thinking about putting a banner up here, and it says, Jesus, the only fire escape. Because that's all, the only way you can avoid that place called the lake of fire. Is it real? Absolutely. Is it awful? Just as awful as we just read. What is hell really like? Well, the rich man gives us an insight. Look at what it says in verse 23. As soon as he died, look at it says in verse 22 that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And look at what happens next. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I hear people talking about pain and struggles and issues and all in this world, but I want to tell you something. I hear people say, I hear them sometimes, they'll say it's hot as hell. And I'll say, oh no, you don't know what you're saying. I'm looking at you, you're not on fire. I want you to know something. That awful place has nothing to do with the fact that you, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I had a woman, and one time I was witnessing to her, and she said, well, I don't believe in anything I can't see. I'll tell you something. That's a silly way to live. I said, we'll see how long you can hold your breath because you can't see oxygen. I want to see you get up on top of this building and jump off because you don't believe in gravity. There's some things you believe in that you can't see. You can't tell me I don't believe in hell or I don't believe in this or I don't believe in God because I can't see. There are things you believe that you can't see. And what we need to realize is this is a place that has been told to us by the creator of the place, but he did not create it for people. Matthew 25, 41 clearly tells us that the everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. Not created for people. And when it turns out that people ended up disobeying and ended up dying and going to hell, Jesus says, I want to do what I can, Father. The Father had a plan. Jesus stepped up and he was the sacrifice. And he says, I can be that one
to pay the price, to keep people from going to that awful place. And I want to tell you something. I don't have to worry about going to hell. Neither do you if you put your trust in Jesus. If you're really and truly saved, my Bible tells me whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You're not going to crash God's party, okay? Either your name's in His reservation book or it's not. Either your loved ones are in His reservation book or they're not. There's no other way around it. There's no two ways. You cannot say, oh, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe a loving God would send His creatures to hell. I want to tell you something. Just do a word study in the Bible on the wrath of God. Just do the book of Revelation and look at what the wrath of God causes. I want to tell you something. Those plagues are an awful thing that God pours out on this planet. And all He's trying to do is to convince people to get saved. It breaks my heart. When I was, not long after Sharon and I got married, probably I was about 25 or thereabouts, had an opportunity. The Lord prompted me to witness to a young man I knew. The name was Ben. He was 18. And like a lot of times, maybe some of you have done, I kind of just brushed it off and didn't think much about it. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I heard about Ben. About midnight, he was drunk, walking down the road, walking home. He staggered and fell in front of a car, got run over. He died. Ben's in hell tonight, today. He's been there for the last 30, 35 years or so. What is it about that place that makes it undesirable to talk about? The fact that we don't like thinking about it because we don't like thinking about people being tortured like that for eternity. See, the people that used to be in this building, they couldn't understand how God, in His loving mercy, would allow that to happen. Hold your place here and go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 gives us a little insight. Jesus is talking to His disciples here. He's getting ready to leave. With verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You say, burn? Yep, burn. That's what it's talking about. That's what the rich man's doing. You realize that Jesus told this about these two men. I hesitate to call it a story because so many people think, well, that's a fictional tale, a story.
This is not, even though this might be what we call a story, it is a true story. It is an actual event that took place. These two men, you will be able to meet one of them wherever you go. The rich man's going to be in hell. He's going to be in the lake of fire. I'm looking forward to seeing Lazarus. I'm going to talk to him. But the truth is, they're still where they were when Jesus talked about them. Now, I'm not going to go into the details. I'll spend a little time here. But you say, well, where's Abraham's bosom? Okay, I'm going to give you just a brief overview. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Abraham's bosom was a temporary place where the saved people went after they died, but before the resurrection of Christ. Okay, if you read Matthew chapter 27, you'll see where after the resurrection of Christ, that the saints arose and appeared unto many in Jerusalem, in the holy city. That's those saints that were in the Abraham's bosom, or what we call, Jesus told the thief on the cross, paradise. Okay? But they could not go to heaven until Jesus had applied the blood on the mercy seat. And when they weren't going to go to hell because they were saved. They believed in Jesus. They were just as saved as you and I can be today. It's just the fact that they could not go. And if we had died prior to the resurrection of Jesus, we would have been in that same place with David and Daniel and Moses and Abraham and all those other guys. All the Old Testament saints. But what I want you to understand is that rich man, he's still in hell. He's still on fire. He's still just wanting one drop of water. What happens if Lazarus brings a drop of water, is able to? Now, we know that can't happen because the great gulf fixed there. But what if Lazarus was able to dip his finger in water and come and cool the tongue? I want to tell you something. That water would evaporate quick in that hot, hot climate. He wouldn't have even got the water close to the rich man's tongue. But I want you to understand, this place called hell is real. Just because we don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because we want to ignore the issues of our day. This week we had that shooting down here in South Florida. Everybody's talking about, you got to surrender your guns. I want to tell you something. You realize that if everybody surrendered their guns, you would have more of these things? Because that boy didn't have that gun legally. Okay? He stole that gun. What would happen when these people go in places without any opposition at all? There's a reason they go to schools and do these shootings and not to the police station. You know that? They know there's not going to be anybody else to oppose them. This is a wicked world we're living in. We've got to realize that this is not God's plan. He did not plan this to go this way. It all came from Adam and Eve. And it has been snowballing ever since. Going downhill. But it's the wicked heart of man that does these wicked things. That gun didn't run in there and shoot people. It was a person. And the most, I want you to realize that the toughest, one of the toughest states on gun laws, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but the toughest states on gun laws is Illinois. And you realize how many murders take place because of gun violence in Chicago?
It's not the laws that we don't need more laws. We need to execute those criminals to start with. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this in because this is out of the book anyway. You teach the children that we came from monkeys. Don't be surprised when they act like it. Amen. And they start exercising the survival of the fittest. I've got the gun and I'm going to shoot you because I'm going to show you the survival of the fittest. I'm more fit because I got a gun. I want to tell you something. That's a wicked concept. And it is not from God. If you wanted to meet Jesus on the street, you wouldn't stand a chance if he decided to exercise the survival of the fittest. He'd squash this world in a heartbeat. But it's his love and compassion. And it's his love and compassion that tells us about this awful place called hell. And it's the love and compassion of God that causes me to preach about it this morning. Because I don't want to see anybody end up like Ben. I don't want to see anybody end up in your family or my family or in nobody's family. But if they don't get saved, that's where they're going to end up. And you might be the only hope they have of missing that place called the lake of fire. I might be the only person that somebody is counting on to miss that place. Our job as Christians, God's blessed us with a nice place. But I'm going to tell you something. The most important thing is not having a nice place. The most important thing is to make sure that we're reaching people for Jesus and telling them the truth. Whether they like it or not, you do know that a real friend is not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. And a real Christian is not going to tell people what they want to hear. We're going to tell them what they need to hear. And they need to know that hell's real. They need to know that the Savior died. That's why Jesus came, left heaven. He left heaven, came to this earth. Why would you want to leave heaven and come here? Came for one reason. To keep people from going to that awful place. To seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. I'm one of those that got saved. And I hope everybody here is saved. Because that place is real. That place called the Lake of Fire is real. If it's not, give me another reason why Jesus died. I mean, let's face it. Jesus is the creator, right? He created heaven. He created hell. He created you. He created me. He created everything. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It does not please God for anybody to go to that awful place. And that's why Jesus was willing to go to the cross. That's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission and tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's why as long as I'm pastor of Bible Baptist Church, we're going to have a track rack out there. And I'm going to encourage people to pass them out. That's it. As long as I'm pastor here, we're going to knock doors. Tell people about how to get to heaven. As long as I'm driving a city bus, I'm going to be telling people about Jesus and how they need to get saved. Got a lady right back there helping with the children that got saved from me meeting her on the bus. Got a school bus driver. They got saved because I met her on the bus. Told her about Jesus. I want to tell you something. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about you. Let me ask you this. If you had a disease and there's a bottle of medicine here that would cure the disease you have, and you poured it into the spoon and took the medicine, is it the spoon that did the saving, saved you from that disease? No, it's the medicine. I'm just the spoon, okay? You're just the spoon. God wants us to give out the medicine. The medicine is Jesus. He's the cure for this whole world's ails. Everything this world needs, everything this world doesn't have that it should have, it's because of Jesus. People are ignoring him. They're turning their back on him. They're running from his book. They're running from his laws. But this book tells us that, and the creator of hell tells us clearly, there's a place you don't want to go. Had a young man on my bus. I've mentioned this before. Daniel, I was driving the school bus. They might have fired me if they'd have heard me say it, but he asked. He said, "Preacher, what do you believe about hell?" I want to tell you something. You cannot ask for a better question from a teenager. From anybody, really, but for a teenager especially. Daniel asked me, he said, "What do you believe about hell?" I said, "It's real, it's hot, and you don't want to go." That's what Jesus says. It's real, and it's hot. Not only do you not want to go, he died to keep you from going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. It's been a tough, tough message to preach, but Lord, it's so, so needy. Lord, our desire is that we as a church teach the truth about hell. And Lord, we ask you to move in our midst. Lord, we've got a number of people here, and Lord, I just pray, dear God, I pray that not one person leaves this place without knowing for sure their name's in the book of life. The most important thing for any of us is to get us our name in your book, or we end up in the devil's lake, that lake of fire that was created for him. Move in the invitation, Lord. Help us to know that you're moving, and help each one to get it settled that their name's in your book before they leave this place today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.